agenda, so if we can call the Finance Committee meeting to order, please. Those present, it's Council President Bullock, Councilpersons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Cartier, Weiner, Diller. I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chair of Finance. Ms. Finnegan will be taking the minutes. I have been informed that Mr. Retta and Mr. Street will not be attending this meeting today. What's your privilege on the motion to approve the minutes of February 16, 2016?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? There's nothing. Okay. Minutes have been approved. With that, we're going to move to a presentation for the fiscal year 2015 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, CAFR, by Clifton Larson Allen. Now, you can come up. Somewhat a little different, but so we don't belabor the point, when the gentlemen come forward to present, if they could identify themselves for the record and then go through, and I don't think, as they, having attended the earlier meeting, as you go back and forth and doing your presentation, I really don't see the need for you to keep repeating your name. I can give you numbers, number one, number two, whatever. But so with that, we, and you are? That didn't apply to you.
Bob Watson, Bob County Auditor.
Okay.
Clifton Larson Allen is the county's external auditors. They completed year two of their three-year engagement. And this is Bill Early, Auditor, and Sammy Dunnestore, Audit Manager. He'll be doing the presentation. I had left a hard copy of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report in every council member's mailbox. And there was one page that was missing, and I left that page in the mailboxes and sent an email about that. That page goes between 130 and 131. And then everybody should have a copy of the presentation, which we just handed out today.
Okay. To allow everyone to breathe easy, which book will you be going through?
We will be going through the little book.
That's why I asked that. And for council's pleasure, I will speak for the gentleman. Having attended the earlier meeting, they find it easier that if you have questions as they're going forward, that we handle them at that time rather than go back. You want to maintain that format?
Yes, we would.
Okay.
Again, for the record, my name is Bill Early. I'm the audit principal.
Remy Omisor, the audit manager.
So Remy's involved in the detailed day-to-day on-site. We're contracted through Bob. We spend a lot of time working in the finance department with Mike Coop and his staff. So we'd like to say thank you to them for being of assistance to us when needed this year. Again, we're pleased to present this year's CAFR. It is a little bit delayed for those of you who have been on council before. We typically do issue by November, and we have the meeting in December. This was postponed due to some turnover in the finance department due to some retirements. And then the new staff were not brought on board until, I believe, Ron came in November of this year. So due to that, it was delayed. We did not miss any compliance deadlines with bond filings or anything. Those are due in March, and we were on target to have the CAFR updated and followed in time for that. So we are a little bit later next year. Finance has said they will be back on track going forward, and I'll let them speak to that, or Bob speak to that if they do afterwards. What we'd like to do is, we're not going to go through the whole set of financial statements, and that's the big book that everybody has. If you do have questions on it, and if it's after this meeting, we're always available to come back and have conversations. The little book is kind of a summary of our audit process, our audit findings. We think that's more helpful for those charged with governance to go through. So I'm going to turn it over to Remy. He's going to kind of go through most of the things. We're going to talk about the scope. We'll go over the results of the financial statements and then our required communication, and then let you know what's coming down the road for the GATT items. So again, feel free to interject as we go through. Remy and I would be happy to answer any questions. So Remy.
The first slide I wanted to go through is the scope of the audit, what we're contracted to do for the county. Again, as Bob mentioned, this is the second year of a three-year contract. We do the audit of the county financial statements, the CAFR, which you have in front of you. We also perform the audit of the pension program, In conjunction with the audit of the county, we also do the single audit or the audit of federal awards and the compliance related to those programs. As we go through the process, we also issue a report on internal controls as well as any management recommendations throughout the process as well. Once we wrap up the work for the CAFR, we come back and do the agreed upon procedures for the computation of available cash balance, which is a report used by council for budgetary purposes. And then as we go through here, we also issue a letter charge to governance, which basically summarizes the information in this document. And then for regulatory compliance, we also issue what's called the REACT report, which is related to the HUD program that we have here at the county. So going on to the next slide, just to summarize what we issued this year. Again, we perform an audit in conjunction with generally accepted auditing standards, as well as government auditing standards for the federal dollars. Again, we issue an opinion, which is for reasonable assurance on the financial statements, not absolute assurance. Auditing standards require us to go through from samples and testing procedures on the amounts included in the CAFR, but we do not audit 100% of the numbers in the financial statements. As we go through and talk about the numbers in financial statements, there are some estimates that management goes through. We highlight those on the next slide here, but the biggest two that we do for the county are related to the pension liability as well as the OPEB liability. Management hires a consultant or an actuary that goes through it and develops the assumptions and comes up with those balances. We audit those balances to make sure they're in line with industry standards and to make sure that they're reasonable. To summarize, we issued an unmodified or clean opinion, which is the highest level of assurance that we could have on the financial statements, which means that they were free from material misstatement. We issued our internal control letter, which had no significant items with the exception of the two material weaknesses that we have here. The two that were issued were related to the capital recovery fee restatement. Auditing standards require whenever you go back and restate prior year balances, correction of an error, that you have to assess it for a material misstatement, and due to the value of the capital recovery fees that were restated, that resulted in the material weakness. And just to go back, we came back, and I want to say it was in summer, we presented to council in conjunction with Mike Coop the capital recovery fee restatement, which was amounted to about $21 million. It's detailed in the report in note 25, which goes through and gives you the logic behind it and the balances on that restatement. And that's what I'm referring to. The other material weakness was related to some audit adjustments that we had throughout the process, really in conjunction with the turnover and this being, if you will, the first time through for the report. There were a few minor items that we had as far as adjustments, but those also were elevated to a material weakness as well. Going through, just to talk about the county's significant accounting policies, in note one to the financial statements, we go through and our management goes through and identifies the accounting policies that they use. We assess those accounting policies to make sure they're in line with industry standards. We noted no significant issues this year. No significant changes with the exception of the impact of GASB 68, which you have here. 68 is a accounting standard related to pension liabilities. It was effective for all governments this year. And in essence, what it went through, and Bill will explain a little bit more in detail, in essence, what it went through and made the county record the entire liability for individuals who are included in the pension plan. The county has two sets of pension plans that the employees are included in, one being the DPRS plan, where we have municipal police and firefighters included in that plan, as well as our own Newcastle County pension plan, which has the bulk of the employees.
Yeah, and then 68, what it required was basically the way I like to explain it is, in the past, there was an annual required contribution that was made annually. And if that required contribution was, say, $2 million, and you only paid in $1.5 million, you had a $500,000 liability. When in actuality, the liability was $150 million, was the total liability that you're going to owe down the road. That is now what's shown on the balance sheet as a liability. I believe the impact number was It's in note 25 of pension, I believe it was $133 million, the full liability that is now being shown on the face of the financial statements. And that, again, that wasn't unique to Newcastle, that was a change in the accounting policies that I think you all are aware, so that affected every government out there.
The second issue in here, the second change in accounting policies were related to the capital recovery fee. In essence, what management did before was we deferred those capital recovery fees into the related expenditure happened. So in essence, builder in community A would pay $100 for this capital recovery fee. 5 or 10 years later down the road, we would do a project, then we would take those revenues related to that project and offset them against the revenues. So in essence, the new accounting treatment is as those fees are collected, we recognize them as revenue, and then when the associated expense occurs 5 or 10 years down the road, they are expense that's incurred as well.
Councilman Cartier.
Just to clarify for members of council, the capital recovery fee that you're talking about is in the sewer fund?
Yes. Okay. All this activity is in the sewer fund as well. So that was the second change in accounting policies. Retroactively, the cumulative effect of those balances was about $21 million. So that's everything in the past. And going forward, we collect about $5 million in capital recovery fees a year, give or take. Going through significant management judgments and estimates, again, for uncollectible receivables, the county has taxes, of course, that they go through and assess. Each year, we go through a process of identifying which of those will be uncollectible, and we come up with an estimate of what of those balances will be not be collected. Again, that's a judgment and estimate that we go through and evaluate, as well as the other post-employee or OPEB or other post-employment benefits and pension liabilities or other significant estimates, as well as the incurred but not reported for claims that come through, as well as the fair value of certain investments in the pension plan. Management has a small amount of hedge fund liabilities in the pension program that they go through and hire a consultant to determine the value for those as well. Continuing on as far as adjustments, again, going through the audit process this year, we did note three adjustments that had to be made. There were no uncorrected adjustments. The three adjustments that we did have was the result of the fair value of equity funds. Due to the time of the year, the consultants that are for the hedge funds, they go through a process quarterly to update the value of those investments. And due to the timing of the issuance of the report, subsequent to November, December timeframe, there was an adjustment on those investments of about $600,000 upward. So that adjustment had to be posted after the fact. As well as another transaction related to debt refunding. This year, the county issued about $200 million of debt. And due to the market conditions with that issuance, there was a loss related to that issuance, and that adjustment had to be made as well. In addition, related to fixed assets, the county management went through a process this year to have a full-blown inventory count. Going through that process, there were some assets that were identified that were double counted, and those assets had to be adjusted and written off. Again, there were no disagreements with management. Management was very cooperative and professional throughout the process. They did not identify, or at least not identify, us of any consultations with other auditors, other accountants on any matters, and there were no issues discussed prior to hiring us or retaining us as the external auditors. Going through the next slide, just highlight some significant items that occurred during fiscal year 15, as well as a three-year comparison. Going through, tax revenues were up slightly this year by about $2 million, mainly related to real estate transfer taxes. Intergovernmental revenue also had a significant increase of about $2-3 million, which was the result of the state contribution for the pension plan. Public safety increased slightly due to pension costs. When we go through the next two bullets on there related to the net pension asset liability are related to GASB 68. For the DPERS plan, there's actually a $3.4 million asset due to the liquidity of that pension plan. For the Newcastle pension plan, there's actually a $133 million liability. Those two items had to be booked in relation to the NB68, as well as some timing issues related to deferred inflows and outflows, which are really timing from the date that the actuary does his assessment on the plan. There was an issuance of about $190 million of debt this year, as well as an increase in the OPEB liability. Again, on there, some significant capital asset addition activity, which was tested during our audit. $8.1 million for the Brandywine North, as well as $5 million for the South Rehabilitation. So again, these are just some quick summaries of items that we noted on the item, just for the highlights there. The next slide highlights the results of the single audit, or the audit of the federal awards. Each year we go through a process of a risk determination process to identify which programs we're going to be testing. The three programs listed there are what we tested during this fiscal year. The coverage of those programs equate to about 76% of federal awards received during the year. The main program, or the program that we look at every 1 to 2 years, is the Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher, just due to the amount of funds that are going through that program. Represents about 60% of total county funds each year. So typically we take a look at that one and rotate 2 to 3 programs each year. Going through that process, we issued our report. We noted one item that had to be written as far as a significant deficiency, and that was related to a participant eligibility issue with a participant in the Section 8 program. As we were going through this, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, the Section 8 program has a fair amount of regulations that have to go through in terms of determining eligibility, following up on housing standards. So typically we do find 1 or 2 issues with this program just due to the complexity of it. But this item was fairly minor. What happened was during the eligibility determination, there was some income included in that person's benefit package that should not have been. And that resulted in the finding.
And from the earlier meeting, that was like $100?
It was about $100 of Social Security income that was included that should have been excluded.
Okay.
Management went through a process of determining what that error should have been, and it has been corrected.
There was a few GASBs that did go into place for the June 30th, 15 financial statements. 68 and 71 that are listed here, they are tied into the pension liability, which we've talked about, of $133 million that was booked. Statement number 69, the combination of disposal for government operations did not have an effect on the county for this year, as there was none that were applicable under that standard. Going forward, we have a few standards going in place. We have statement number 72 is going in place. In the for-profit sector, they basically have GASB standards that label investments as levels 1, 2, or 3. Some of you may be familiar with. Level 1 is basically it's actively traded on the stock market. Level 2 is the activity, while it's not actively traded, there is a readily determinable market value easily. And level 3 means it's investments that are not really easily to determine the value of, such sometimes the hedge funds do fall into those. Sometimes if there's not readily available financial statements for those. So that will go into effect next year. It will not affect the actual financial statements, just additional footnotes. So as if the big book is not big enough, it will get bigger by about 3 or 4 pages next year. We also have some coming down the road that is going to be impactful, and that's the OPEB standards. In 2017, they go into place for the plans, and then in 2018, it goes into place for the employers, which would be the county. What that does is that mirrors GASB 68, but applies to the other post-employment benefits. So for those other post-employment benefits that are now being basically done on PAYGO or funded slowly over time, you will have to put the liability for those just like you had to do for the pension this year. The concern there is as they're not being funded as much as pensions have been, because pensions have been around for a tremendous number of years, and OPEB accounting is just fairly new with GASB 45 that came out a couple years ago. They're not as funded as well. Most people are doing them on PAYGO. the Gatsby standards say that you can't use a long-term rate of return of 6.5-7% if you're not really funding it, if you're just doing a PAYGO every year. Therefore, you're going to be required to use a muni bond rate, crossover rate. With that said, that's going to then exponentially grow that liability, because they're basically saying you're not putting any assets aside to grow, you're just doing a PAYGO, so that liability is going to be greater down the road. While the GASB 68 didn't have a direct impact on bond rating, we still are, not us directly, but everybody's still evaluating what the bond raters will say with the OPEB liability coming on. More or less, it's just going to be a number that's going to go on the financial statements that is really going to highlight what that long-term liability is, so that you all can then make better decisions possibly going down the road of how do we fund this, or does it impact the benefits we're providing, and how do we continue to make those benefits available to our employees and still stay financially stable down the road. So,
and I hope I'm not jumping ahead of you here, but to fall back on your earlier presentation, and tell me if I misunderstood, that the bond rating agencies at this point are taking into account the funding requirements, and at this point it's not anticipated to affect any governmental bond rating, but if the future doesn't show action to correct the situation, then it very well could affect the bond rating for the governments involved.
That's what we're
anticipating.
Right. That's what happened with the implementation of GASB 68.
Right.
Moody's actually issued a letter with GASB 68 for the pension liability, saying all everybody knows is going to go on the financial statements now. They've known about the liability. They've been calculating it. It was detailed a little bit in the financial footnotes, enough for them to know what that liability was and how much it was funded. So they said it wasn't going to have an impact. They were already considering it. We're assuming something similar is going to happen with OPEB. They kind of know what that liability is, and they can tell if you're funding it or not. So initially, will it have an effect? Possibly not. But your reaction to what you do over the course of time now could have an impact on the bond rating, most certainly.
And I'll just state for the record, based on my past experience, you know, the governments have not acted on this because it hadn't gone into place yet. When it went in place in the private industry, unfortunately, what my involvement was is that they just phased out the post-employment benefits for the employees. The health coverage went away. You know, that's how they remedied their situation. They took the health care. Yeah. Quite a few.
Yes. And again, it's going to be governments are going to have that challenge going forward. You know, as healthcare costs continue to rise, people are actually continue to live longer, retire. You know, the economy has actually helped them not retire earlier, which could cause an additional problem. But as that continues to grow, there is going to be these impacts that are going to have to impact some of the decisions you make on the benefits that you do offer to employees.
Probably easier to address the lifespan issue than the funding. With that, I'll turn the floor back to you.
And then we also have some new guidance going into effect on the uniform grant guidance. This regards to the federal funding. Those standards they're actually out now. They will impact any grants that are going forward from the federal agencies. They will be under the new, what they call uniform grant guidance. It has part of it. What it has to do is also the Green Book, and the Green Book is the federal's control book. Basically, that's their internal control book. The new standards that while you're not required to follow the Green Book, the new standards reference the Green Book on several occasions. Therefore, we are discussing with our clients to say you should consider looking at the Green Book, going through what do the feds recommend as the internal controls, and putting those in place if you don't already have them addressed. It's basically, right now we follow what is called as COSO for internal control. So it basically is the Fed's version of COSO and incorporates a lot of the same principles into it. But they do refer to the new uniform grant guidance. Bob actually has a copy, he's been looking through it, and is going to be working with Mike Koop's office to kind of make sure that some of those Green Book guidelines are implemented so that we don't have any issues going forward for our findings. Required communication, Remy went over most of them, so I'll highlight real quickly and brief some of them. Again, we are responsible for expressing an opinion about whether their financial statements are in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. That does not relieve management or those charged with governance of their responsibilities for their financial statement. So in that big book, we own three pages in the front and three pages in the back where our opinions are. Everything else is done by Newcastle County and is, you know, put together by them, and then we express an opinion on it. Again, that opinion is not is reasonable assurance, not absolute assurance. And in addition, we also do test controls as part of our audit. However, we do not issue an opinion that all of the controls are effectively operating efficiently. We do issue an opinion that says we consider them as part of our audit, and then here's the issues that we noted, which Remy discussed earlier. And the last page, we are responsible for communicating significant matters related to the audit. That is the purpose of this meeting and this presentation. We are responsible for communicating particular matters that are required by laws and regulation, which is part of our part of the financial statements in the back under the single audit section. And then again, there is a statistical section and an introductory section in there that, while we do not express an opinion of it, we did read it in relation to the rest of the financial statements. We don't express an opinion on it, but we do say that it is in relation to the financial statements, not materially misstated. So that is the length of our presentation. We also did issue a separate management letter that is not included in the financial statements there, which I believe Bob can make a copy available.
Should be a copy in each of the presentations.
Okay, so everybody should have a copy of the presentations as a separate two-page management letter. These are issues that, while they did not affect our opinion or did not affect the overall process, we do think they're warranted enough to bring to the attention of management so that they can correct them going forward. Some are best practices. So again, they didn't lead to any misstatements or anything, but we did have three. One was the bank statement review being done in a more timely manner. Information controls, IT general controls, and password controls. We noted a few where password policies were not being followed consistently, even up to the standards that's set by the county. So we did write those up. Those were verbal comments last year. We felt that this year we want to bring them and put them in writing so that everybody is aware that they do need to be addressed, and they should be addressed for best practice purposes going forward.
And for the record, I don't think passwords matter in the county anymore. I got to throw that out there, guys. Yeah.
Couldn't resist it.
Sewer bill adjustments. There was some adjustments that were being done and were not being posted with secondary review. That has actually already been addressed by Mike Coop. They're putting in a certain level of threshold at which they will start doing those. And then we also included the implementation of the uniform grant guidance, which, again, I'll say that Bob and Mike Coop are working on going through and implementing those new Green Book standards. Questions?
Is there any further questions from any members of council? Mr. Washbach, do you have any closing remarks?
Yeah, two things. Bill mentioned at the beginning of the presentation that normally the financial statements, the audited financial statements, are ready in December. There's a little bit of a delay this year because of turnover in the finance department. Ron Russell is the new accounting and fiscal manager overseeing accounting. He didn't begin until November 2015.
So you had a month. Well, what do you want, man?
Steve Cunliffe used to work in Treasury, and this is his first full year in accounting. Going forward, I'm very confident that CFO Coop has established a great team to work on accounting, work on the financial statements. I think hopefully next year we'll have it ready in December. Okay. And the second thing is, the capital recovery fees of approximately $21 million that Bill mentioned earlier are shown on the statement of net position under unrestricted. There is a footnote 17, to the financial statements, which says another component of net position totaling $20.6 million is comprised of capital recovery fees that are restricted by management pursuant to debt service. The reason why they're shown as unrestricted in the financial statements is because there's no external restriction on those funds, i.e. there's nothing in county code which says definitively those capital recovery fees have to be used for debt service. So one of the things council may want to consider is doing legislation to definitively restrict those funds. And I've talked to Councilman Cartier and Councilman Smiley about that.
Okay. Any follow-up questions from council? Anything from the public? Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, we have new resolutions, we have new ordinances. Next on the agenda is the grant requests. First is the One Village Alliance Raising Kings Program. Council President Bullock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Raising Kings Program is an annual mentoring educational forum for urban black youth here in the city. They've asked for $2,500. I make a motion for $1,000 toward that program.
Second.
There's a motion, there's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting. We've got eight in the room, so we're good. Okay, good. Second, Phi Delta Kappa Rho Chapter, Councilman Street. I've been asked to floor manage this for Councilman Street. They've asked for $2,500. Councilman Street would like to give $1,000. This is a group that works with youth. They travel to different states for youth seminars and programs. They will be going to compete in New Jersey, and this is for uniforms and transportation. The parents pay for the meals and lodging. So the motion for $1,000 from Councilman Street.
Second.
So motion, there's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Noes? Not voting. Okay. Fit for grants, expense and revenue roundtable. I have one thing, and I ask that council take this in the positive light in which I present it. I don't mean to appear to be exerting any authority or anything else, just given the newspaper articles that have come out in regards to Dow, DuPont Company. I just wanted to give everybody kind of a quick scenario of what's coming forward. We will have two pieces of legislation coming. It will be introduced on March 8th to be voted on March 22nd. The first piece will be to establish the new Strategic Economic Development Fund in Newcastle County, and the second piece will be to place funding into the established fund. As soon as the legislation, and it will follow the normal process of discussion, as soon as the legislation is here, duly logged in with the clerk of council, I will ask my aide to work with the clerk of council to expedite that legislation out to council members in advance even of its introduction, so you have it electronically, so you can take a look at it, have an idea of what you're looking at. Because if any council member would like their name on one or both pieces of this legislation before it comes forward to the floor, please let me know. I'll be happy to do that. Another step, and I understand, because I've mailed it enough myself, that any council member has the right to work on anything that they choose to work on. My idea is this: having the co-chairs of the economic development subcommittee take the lead, hopefully working with the co-chairs of finance, we know we're limited to how many people, to work with the administration to work on processes and procedures for this council to approve, to look for additional funding for the Strategic Economic Development Fund. I believe this council would want this to be something for this council and all councils going forward, not just a one-time thing for one event. The idea would be to find a way to periodically, incrementally bring funds, put them in that account so that they're there. So if a business gets in trouble or something comes up that meets the criteria in any council member's district, and they meet the criteria, that they could apply for assistance or help out of those funds. So I just wanted to put that to you in advance. let people know what I'm thinking, and let them know the process going forward in case you are asked questions. You don't have to read it in the paper. So, is there anything else for the expense and revenue roundtable? Anything under other?
Yes, I have something under other.
Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. Members of council, we went out and solicited a legal opinion from the received that legal opinion pertains to movement of funds surrounding the marketing trust, and I just wanted to bring it up so that in a future meeting we should, you know, have a discussion of that legal opinion and any corrective legislation or discussions we can have with the administration concerning that legal opinion. We did go out with 7 votes to subcontract for that through that law firm. We got an opinion back, and we paid for it. So I just wanted to make sure it's just not lying there. We're not addressing that. And concerning, you know, movement of funds. So I just want to put that on the table. If anybody wants to respond to that, that's fine. I'm just concerned that we paid for this. What do we? What is the step forward after that?
Okay. Anything from any members of council? Anything from the public? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Anybody not voting? I'm voting on this. The answer's yes.